Welcome to the Better Part Podcast. I'm Jenna Scott, a wife, mom of seven, and most importantly, daughter of Christ. Jesus wants more for us than the chaos, comparisons, and confusion of this modern life. Let's grow toward Him as we journey through motherhood together. Hello, hello. Thank you for joining me again for the fourth episode of this prayer series. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you're having a good day. I've had a pretty good day. I'm sitting here in the evening in my closet, which has become quite comfortable for me now that I'm getting used to recording in here. It's actually working out. Actually, the funny part is that my closet has a motion sensor light, which is incredible. Absolutely love that. But I started off recording sitting on the floor in my closet and the light would turn off on me and I'd be in the middle of recording and I'd be waving my hand up as high as I could to get the light to turn on. Now I sit on a stool, guys, and it's transformative. The light is staying on for me the whole time I record. So making strides over here, guys, growth in the podcasting world. Anyway, I'm glad that you're here. I hope you're doing well. Today we're talking about vocal prayer. So we've gone over a lot of practicals in prayer, which hopefully helps us in setting up the framework for our prayer, kind of giving an environment, a setup where you can come to the Lord every day and kind of giving some tips and ideas there. But now we're going to work on trying to develop and grow and deepen our prayer lives and deepen our relationship with the Lord through a lot of different methods. So today we're going to talk about vocal prayer, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to talk about meditative prayer in the next episode. And then the last one of these three is going to be the contemplative prayer, and we're going to go a little bit into each of these. And although they do get deeper each time, I would say they're all really important, and they're all an essential part of our relationship with the Lord and an essential part of who we are as people. So I think that deepening each of these individually is also really wonderful and good. So although we are talking about the quote unquote shallowest of the, you know, the kind of expressions of prayer here with vocal prayer, it's still really important, right? Because vocally, or, you know, for me, I write down my prayers in my journal, or maybe you're praying just in your heart or in your head to the Lord, but expressing yourself, sharing yourself through words, through communication is kind of part of who we are as people, right? It's how we share of ourselves. And it's really beautiful and important for us to be able to bring these things to the Lord, even stuff He already knows, right? Like He sees our whole day. But being able to share this with Him allows us to, one, see it a little bit more through His lens, and two, choose Him, choose to spend our time with the one who created us and loves us and wants to hear from us. So vocal prayer is really great. It's really, really important. And I think a lot of times it makes up kind of the bulk of our prayer lives, right? Us just sharing with the Lord. And in this episode, we're going to talk about different forms of vocal prayer. And I kind of want to preface this saying there's going to be a lot of different types, different forms of prayer that I talk about today. And I don't want you to be overwhelmed because there are a lot of different ways to pray, right? So I would encourage you, I'm going to give you another little acronym. Maybe you like acronyms. I hope you do, because here's your second one already from me in this series. But I'll give you a little acronym that you could follow as kind of maybe a plan for your prayer, maybe a routine that you fall into when you pray to the Lord. So you could take that on as your thing. But if you're not really needing all the whole routine, the whole plan that I'm going to show you in this acronym, maybe just think about one of these forms of prayer that you'd like to grow. You know, maybe open your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to maybe one thing that you want to take on and grow in this week. Not necessary. I don't think it's necessary for you to jump on all of these forms and try to get amazing at all of them, because that's a lot. It's too much for any person. So maybe kind of let these different forms that I go over wash over you. Maybe you're already really good at one of these or all of these. I don't know. But maybe open your heart to just one that you want to work on. So that's kind of my preface before I dive into a lot of different forms of vocal prayer. So Now, we talk about vocal prayer as communication with the Lord. It can be all different forms, but it kind of reminds me of just communicating with people all around us. And, you know, that's how we grow, right? In friendship, in our relationships with our spouses, in our relationships with our kids. And it's a good comparison, right? We can understand our relationship with the real person of Jesus by kind of seeing the tactical, more tangible sometimes relationship we have with the physical person right next to us. But there are some differences, right? Because when we're talking to another person, we're talking to a peer, someone we love deeply. But when we talk to the Lord, we have to remember we're talking to the Lord of the universe, right? The beginning and the end, the creator of everything, the one who knows all, is in all, is above all. He's so much bigger. He's so other to us, right? He's so much bigger than us. So we kind of come with that recognition when we're coming in vocal prayer. And that's why the first form of prayer I want to talk about is adoration. Adoration, praise for the Lord, blessing the Lord. These are all kind of words that I use sometimes interchangeably, although adoration might be a little bit different than praise. But we have a reason that we should appropriately praise God every single time we talk to Him. You know, in the Old Testament, they talk a lot about the tribes of Israel, right? So they have the 12 tribes of Israel. These are the sons of Jacob. All of the Israelites, the nation of the Lord, were divided in these tribes, right? And they each have kind of unique features to them, but we hear a lot about Judah, right? Judah eventually kind of encompasses a lot of different tribes. It's the tribe of David. It's eventually the tribe of Jesus. It's a really big one, right? It's an important one. And sometimes you see, even before all that happens, you see that God tells them to put Judah first sometimes. And Judah sometimes leads them into battle or is the first one to choose land. But he says, bring Judah first. And if you listen to Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, it was kind of a cool, I guess, representation he had there. He recognized that the name Judah actually means blessing and praise. And it kind of is a good thing for us to think about in our prayer that we bring praise first. Judah comes first. Blessing comes first. And I think it's really appropriate, right? Like when we're talking to a peer, we're talking to our spouse and our child, of course we want to recognize Christ in them. We want to love them, treat them with dignity. But when we're talking to God, the one who's over everything, who is so much bigger than us, it's only appropriate and just and right to begin with praising Him. It's not only right, but it's what He asks us to do, to bring praise and glory to Him. So if that's something that you haven't really brought into your prayer that much, I would encourage you to do that. Bring in praise in every single time you speak with the Lord. Just telling Him about who He is. He is good. He is your Father. He is your love. He is your Savior. All the good things that He's made. And if that's not something that you're comfortable with or not something that you've done yet, maybe you're not a words of affirmation person, right? There aren't things that come to your mind. That's okay. You know what's so beautiful for this are the Psalms. So you could bring in, there's so many Psalms of praise and thanksgiving. And a lot of times in your Bible, it even labels them like the Psalm of Praise. But I'll give you a couple that are really good. Psalm 8 and 65 are good psalms of praise. I particularly love Psalm 96 for claiming God as God of all, over all idols. It's really beautiful. All these are good for praise. So if you don't find yourself praising the Lord, this is something you could do. You can open up one of these psalms, and if you can take them on, kind of own them as your own words, just go through them slowly and recognize, like, is this true? Do I believe this? And if I believe this, let me claim it and say it as my own. If you could pray these to the Lord, they're beautiful. They're beautiful psalms of praise. And they sometimes they help me recognize just how great God is. They're like, oh, wow, yeah, He is. He's the God of everything. Incredible. So they're really good. You might even choose to memorize one of those psalms and bring it into your daily life, right? Bringing that maybe in the morning, just praising God in the morning when you start your day. There are also a lot of songs of praise that you could bring into your prayer too. So that's adoration. That's really a great form of prayer. Another one that is particularly important in my prayer life is contrition or confession. I think this has been one of the most transformative parts of my life or of my prayer life in the past few years. When I'm in good habits, not always, but when I'm in good habits, I really love to try to recognize throughout the day just any kind of turning away from God, any kind of sins I fall into, any kind of patterns of thought that I don't think are glorifying to Him. And I try to recognize them through my day. And when I can recognize them, I'll type them in my phone real quick. And it's really helpful for us Catholics. It's really helpful to have these things because then you can bring them to confession later. But it's really helpful to bring into your daily prayer and confess to the Lord in your daily prayer. And I would say you do that all the time, even before you come to confession. Bringing that to the Lord is so good for me. And I'll tell you why. I guess this points to my own pride and my own vanity. But when I recognize all of the ways where I am kind of acting out of selfishness or out of impatience, or I'm comparing myself and it's drawing me into vanity or self-consciousness that's really based on self-centeredness, these things that I don't want to do, or I'm turning away from God in many ways throughout my day. When I recognize that and I can recognize, oh my goodness, God, He desires and is worthy of so much more, it draws me so much closer to the Lord. And I can come to Him in intimacy, knowing that even through all my faults, He loves me anyway. He forgives me anyway. And I can come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am in all my faults and failures. And You still are here. You still come to me. It shows me my need for Him, my need for a Savior, and also allows me to accept His love even in my imperfections. And so, oh man, I just love it. I would really encourage you. It is no fun to think and talk about sin all the time. But let me tell you, when I do, when I'm recognizing sin in my life and I'm recognizing the ways that I, even in small ways, reject the Lord, I am so much more aware of His love for me. And I'm so much more grateful for how good He is to me. So I would really encourage you to do that. If you are not able to do it throughout your day, that's understandable, right? I, again, get in and out of habits of this. But another really great prayer I would recommend you look into is a daily or nightly examen. It's E-X-A-M-E-N. And examine. This is one of the baseline prayers that Saint Ignatius speaks about. And he's just a genius with prayer, guys. But he recommends doing a nightly examen. And there are a lot of different ways to do this. So you can kind of Google it and see if you find a method that's good for you. But I'll tell you about a really simple one, because there are complicated ones. There are ones you can really think and dive deep into. But really simply, this is a prayer that you could bring in right before bed. You could think about, as you know, you're laying in your pillow, you would think about, okay, when was I closest to the Lord today? When did I notice Him the most? When was I acting in coordination with Him the most throughout the day? And then thank Him for that. Kind of give that moment to Him. Thank Him for that moment. Ask Him to align you closer to Him so you can have more of those moments tomorrow. And then you think about the time of the day when you felt furthest from Him. Maybe it's when you were acting in sin and you can confess that to the Lord. Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I fell into this sin. Will You forgive me? You know, and He does. excuse me. Sorry, guys. But you could, or it might be a time of just hardship. You know, maybe there was a really hard point of the day where you just really felt far from God. You didn't feel His presence during that time. And you give that to Him too, saying, Lord, I know You were there. And it was really hard for me to feel You in that moment, because that was a really hard moment. Please show me where You were in that moment, and allow me to see you tomorrow, see you even in the hard moments, you know, things like that. And that is a really beautiful way to grow in your love of Christ as well, recognizing that he is there, whether we feel him or not. And then it gives you the opportunity to confess any sin right to the Lord, who just absolutely loves you and wants to come closer to you, even in the sin. So that's contrition. That's our second one we're talking about. The third one is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, I guess with my kids and I, we're probably the most common for us. It's easy for us to think of all the things we're thankful for because, gosh, we are so blessed. Guys, we're so blessed. But I wonder how often when I'm throwing up these thanks, I'm really deeply recognizing that every good thing comes from God, right? That's so scriptural. That's biblical. Every good thing comes from the Lord. And coming to him in true, honest thanksgiving is so right and just and appropriate, just like the praise. I'll give you an idea with thanksgiving, if this is an area that you would like to grow in, an idea that was passed along to my church from a priest in a really cool talk was doing this alongside a rosary. If you're not Catholic, you're probably not familiar with the rosary, but it's basically a string of beads. You've probably seen it before, right? And there are prayers associated with these beads. But what you could do instead is go through each bead and just think of one thing you're thankful for each and every bead, and just offer those to God and thank him for those. Now, you might find, from my understanding, you might find in the first decade or so, the first 10 beads is pretty easy. You might fly through them, right? I'm thankful for my family, for the roof over my head, for the food I had today, for et cetera, et cetera. Little big things like that, for my health, my parents, things like that. But as you get to the further beads, you know, you're 50 beads in, 60 beads in, you might start thinking of more specific things. It gets a little hard, right? Thank you for the shoes that fit my feet, or thank you for being present in this conversation that I was nervous about and it went well. And sometimes those end up being the ones that are closer to your heart because they're things that you thought about today that you experienced today. And so that's a good way to make sure that you're giving thanks to God for all the good in his life, or that he's given you in your life. And then the last form that I'm going to talk about is supplication. Now, you might notice that the acronym is hidden in here. There's adoration, A, contrition, C, thanksgiving, T, and supplication, S. It spells out acts, like she acts upon a subject or something like that. So let's talk about supplication, and then we'll kind of talk about that little routine you could bring into your daily prayer if you so chose. But the last would be supplication. Now, this encompasses both petition, when we're asking the Lord for things, and intercession, when we're interceding for other people, which is so biblical, right? James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Some translations even say the fervent prayer of a righteous person. And I think that's true. It's very, very true. So God and Jesus, particularly in the Gospels, asks us to bring prayers to him. And then you see it throughout the Gospels and the early church of Christians praying for one another. And we do this knowing that the God of the universe can do anything. He can make anything happen. And that he loves and cares for us, even in the little things. So we bring things to him. Now, there's a balance here. Sometimes we can lean. I found myself in my own woundedness leaning toward, he's just going to do what he's going to do. So I'm not going to bring these prayers to him because he already knows what's going to happen. He's going to do it. Whatever. I'll just accept it when it comes. And in reality, Jesus calls us to bring our desires to him because he cares about them and because it makes a difference. He asks us, he says, ask and you will receive, knock and it will be answered to you, seek and you will find. Ask me for these things. I'll help you, right? He also gives us the example of the persistent widow, the widow who comes to the judge again and again and again and again, and eventually in annoyance, he gives her what she wants. He says, pray like that. Bring it to me again and again and again, because I care and I'll listen to you. And I want to do that. I can lean toward the side of never asking for anything because I'm like, whatever, he's going to do what he's going to do. And that's not right. That's not what he asks us to do. He asks us to bring it to him, and he wants to give those things to us. I can also lean, especially for intercessory prayer, when I'm praying for others, I can lean toward feeling a lot of pressure and guilt about wanting to pray for something like 20 times a day constantly and feeling really guilty if I'm not praying just constantly for a certain request, especially for really difficult requests, right, guys? I can feel so much pressure to just pray constantly for something. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, to know that when we come to the Lord, we take the time to bring ourselves to the presence of the Lord. We come to Jesus with full hearts and with our full spirit, ask him for a request or intercede for a friend. We can trust that we can hand it over to Jesus and he hears us and he cares and he will work on it. We don't have to be throwing out prayers constantly in order to get through to him. He hears us, right? Enough is enough. If you're bringing an intercession, you're bringing a prayer to him every single day, that is, just as James 5:16 says, it's powerful and effective. And he hears you and he cares. So he'll take that and you can trust him in that. You don't have to be constantly throwing it up in order to know that you're doing anything for it, right? So I would encourage you, if there's a request that's especially deep in your heart, maybe give it once a day, but give it in all earnestness with your full soul and your full meaning. And then trust that Jesus, with his loving hands, will take this request and will act on it because he loves you. And so that is supplication. And I give you this acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, because if you haven't really found kind of a routine for your prayer, you could follow this. And I have friends who follow this and love it. And it's a really good routine to fall into. So you could do that. You could bring that in. And if you find that's helpful, I hope it is. But if it is not, if you already have a routine, skip over that. Maybe just choose one of these that you'd like to focus on this week and bring those closer to God. And all of this stuff will be in the show notes. So if you forget them, don't worry about it. Come back to it. No big deal. Just think about one for today. Now, I'm going to leave you with kind of an image from a vision of Saint Bernard. Now, if you're not Catholic, I know like sometimes saints can feel a little bit tricky, right? This is just a holy person, someone who died long ago, but was very holy in the way he lived his life. And although all the fulfillment of all revelation was given to us by Jesus Christ, we know that he speaks to us, right? He speaks to us in our individual ways, and he does that sometimes through visions. And we don't have to believe all these things in order to be aligned with the Catholic Church, but they can help us, right? These private revelations, as the Catechism calls it, as, you know, the Church calls it, these private revelations can be helpful to us. So I'm just going to give this to you because I hope it can help you grow toward Christ. So Saint Bernard saw this vision when he was praying alongside his other monks, right? Every day they would pray the Divine Office, which are these prayers that they'd say together every day. Now he had this vision of an angel writing down these prayers in a book in heaven. And he noticed that some of the prayers were written in gold. And he was given to understand that that represented those prayers that were given with perfect fervor, with the whole soul that they were given to the Lord. Now, others of the prayers were written in silver, and this was representing the pure intention of the monks who were saying them, but maybe they were a little bit distracted, right? I think we can probably all relate with that. I know I certainly can. Now, some other prayers were written in just normal ink, and they denote that maybe the prayer was given, but maybe done in some laziness. They were kind of given out of obligation. They loved the Lord, but, you know, just kind of praying the prayer with not much meaning, right? And then lastly, there were some prayers written in water, which basically left no even trace in the book. Now, these prayers were offered, but maybe in lukewarmness, not with full belief that Jesus even heard or cared, right? So I guess this is to encourage you that any prayer can make its way to heaven, no matter how you're saying them, right? but that those given with full earnestness, with our full soul, with everything we have, are even more valuable. They're even more meaningful, right? So throwing up a prayer 20 times a day might be something for sure, but if we're coming to the presence of the Lord and we really mean our prayers, if instead of just, you know, spouting off the Our Father, if we say it with our full soul, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And that's the way I want to speak to my Savior who loves me. So I hope that that can be encouraging to you, that can help you, I guess, just focus on giving the Lord everything you can in your prayers. So I'm going to leave it at that. Sorry, this is a longer episode, but I was kind of covering a lot of stuff today. I hope that you can come back for the next episode, which will be about meditative prayer. And I can't wait to see you then. Thank you so much again for being here today. If you know of anyone who could gain from this episode, would you please share it with them? You never know how God might be calling you to bring someone else closer to Him. I'd also just love it if you came back, so please subscribe to this podcast and join me for future episodes. And until then, may God bless you.